League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You know, it's not often that you learn something that you thought you were acutely aware of and then actually had no idea whatsoever. So yesterday I learned something about game shows. First off, what's your favorite game show? Producer Julie, producer Justin, Ashley's here too. Favorite game show, Julie?
I think probably Jeopardy, because I like to play along with it, mm-hmm. but I'm never good at it.
Do you have nights? You must have nights, though, where you feel like you do pretty good, right?
Yeah, you always think you got it. You're like, it's this! And they're like, wrong! You're like, ah! And then okay. The person gets it. That's on the show.
Yeah, you didn't have a lot of time with Alex Trebek, so you must like Ken Jennings.
Yeah, I like whoever's on. I just like guessing.
Don't That's even really know who he I'm is. There. Right, okay. All right, Justin, your favorite game show?
Well, Jeopardy, for sure.
Yeah?
Yeah.
A thinking man.
Yeah.
Of course, with his background in Latin and all that.
He probably gets
I guess
it
that
right,
shouldn't
though.
Surprise me, right? He knows all of it.
I've done the online test for Jeopardy over a dozen times. They still haven't called me.
Is that true?
Oh. Yeah.
You know, I tried out for Pop Culture Jeopardy last year. You know, you only get to try out once a year, if you guys didn't know this.
Yeah.
And so when you do that on Pop Culture Jeopardy, you had to do teams of three at the time. I'm not sure if it's the same now, but I teamed up with Anna and our boss, Keith, who are both brilliant in the things that they know. They both bombed the test.
Really?
The test is much harder than you would think. It's a little bit surprising, I have to say, when I took it. But they both bombed it. And I brought Keith in for his knowledge of movies. I mean, he just has a great mind for film. And then Anna for Broadway. Nope, everybody bombed.
Wow.
Yeah, we didn't make it. So I'm still waiting my time. What's your favorite game show, Ashley?
I would say mostly Family Feud.
Okay.
But when I was younger, I really enjoyed the game show Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Really?
Oh, yes.
Nice. Okay.
You remember that one?
Oh, yeah.
I loved that one because I was such a geography nerd.
Yeah. When I was little, it was like Double Dare and stuff like that. They were fun.
Oh, yes.
But I do love Steve Harvey on Family Feud.
Oh,
he's great.
Yeah. And always a great suit. I haven't watched Family Feud in a while, but it's one of my dog's favorite game shows.
One of your dog's favorite.
That's right. But I just learned this from Price is Right.
What happens is when you win a car and the price is right, I won a Nissan Versa. You could keep that car or you can take that credit and get a new car. So that's what I did. The Toyota RAV4. This is such an upgrade.
That's Kate Steinberg. She's a TikTok whatever.
Star.
Oh, I know who that is.
Do you?
Yeah, she's the one that pretends like she's back in the 90s and early 2000s.
I have no idea. But she won a car and she just explained something to me that I had no idea of. I always thought that you win a car and then you could take the cash value or you could take the car and you just had to pay the taxes. I didn't realize that at the Price is Right, there's just a warehouse full of cars.
Oh, really?
And you can go in the back and pick one out if you want to and use your credit towards that.
See, that is exactly what I thought. I thought you literally got the keys to that car and drove it home. But then my question was always, what if you were by yourself? How are you getting both cars home?
Right. What if you hate that car?
Right. What if you don't like the color?
Right. You're obligated to keep that car. That's what I thought anyways.
I would have thought so too.
I mean, that's a really cool concept, actually. It's a lot more, you know, player friendly, I guess.
They do make you keep, I read this, the license plate frame that says, I won this car on the Price is Right. They make you keep that.
You know what? My local dealership used to make me do that too when I drive away. It was only when you got off the parking lot you could get rid of that thing. But let me just ask you, your technique, do you bid on the first showcase or do you pass every time?
No, I go for the first one.
Yeah?
I always, like blackjack. Take it. Yep, hit every time.
Hit me.
Yep.
I was running errands yesterday, and I saw something that was, you know, at first, honestly, I thought that there might have been a problem or something going on in this vehicle across from me. This woman was extremely animated in front of me, and she was talking and gesturing, and her arms were moving all over the place, and she wasn't driving, so it wasn't a road rage thing. She didn't appear to be arguing or yelling at somebody in front of her or behind her, and I thought to myself, well, like, this is a crazy conversation. I mean, there's nobody in the front seat, so I'm like, she can't be talking to a kid like that in the back. see, right? Mm-hmm. It's too much there. And as I pull out, I mean, again, it was enough for me to look. I pull out and I look, and there's nobody in the vehicle whatsoever as I drive by.
Yep.
And then I thought to myself, because I could see that her phone was there on the mount, and I thought to myself, like, is she talking to somebody on the phone? I looked it up. Did you know that 74%, it says, of people, Gen Z, create content when they're in their car?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I believe it. I saw it yesterday
It's
happening.
Like one of the biggest distracted driving things that mm-hmm. they do from this generation. I mean, again, this was an unbelievably animated video. Like, she looked like she was filming as a host for a program or something.
Well, yeah, that lighting, supreme up there.
I mean, that's
the reason
nuts.
For it. I thought they were just too lazy to get out of the car.
You saw the same thing yesterday?
Yeah, no. Somebody next to me, we were parked in my parking lot in my apartment complex, and she had her phone propped up on her steering wheel,
yeah.
just chatting away.
Yeah, but I mean, that's different. When you're parked, it's fine. Mm-hmm. And again, if you were driving and you were just having a phone conversation, you have to imagine that these arms were flying. It looked like one of those, you know, inflatable guys out front of the car dealership.
The Wacky Tube Man.
It was that animated. And frankly, it was scary. I was glad that I was already halfway down the road when she was going to get the green light to pull out behind me, because I was like, I don't want to be a part of this. Looking at the stats, they just came out with new numbers here, and they've given the trouble hot spots around the country. Not surprisingly so, areas where it's flat and there's less law enforcement, there's more speeding going on. They even have nicknames for some of the states here, like the Brake Check State and stuff like that. If you're wondering where you fall on this list, California, not good. Arizona, not good, both for speeding. North Carolina has been known as the Brake Check State. So if you're pulling behind somebody, make sure that you give them some space. And they're calling Florida the crash state. But the numbers, again, crazy. 27% of people get ready while they're driving.
Yeah.
So if you're headed into work right now and you're doing your makeup or your whatever it is that you're doing, 27%. Gen Z, again, that doubles to 50% eating while driving. 72% of people admit that they eat something while they're driving. That's not even just something that they're eating, but it's risky.
Yeah.
Like hot soup.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was going to
say. Or soup while you're driving.
Barbecue.
Well, you can. It just won't go well.
Or anything like that. I mean, these are wild things.
I ate my Cheez-Its on the way here today.
Creating content. Okay. That's different, though, but it's like one finger goes in. It's like French fries, I don't think, are super dangerous. If you're eating ribs, that's different,
Fine,
actually.
I'll step it up next time.
And then 20% for stress and anxiety. They drive wild while they're behind the wheel. So your worst habit, I think that this is a good, because I actually have not been driving very well in the last, you know, like, I don't know, a couple weeks. Worst habit, Ashley, quick.
I'm a sightseer. I say, ooh, look at that new restaurant.
You daydream.
Oh, was that a dare back there? I get distracted by looking around at things.
Mm-hmm. Justin?
I don't signal long enough. I always signal, but I always worry that I'm not signaling long enough, because I'll hit the blinker and be beep, beep, and then I'll stop.
Immediately go.
Lanes. Yeah.
Okay.
Julie? I hate to say it, I'm guilty of eating. I had tacos the other day in the car on the highway.
I feel like tacos. All these are
relatively
good.
You know what I'm about
good.
To say, Raven?
I read.
You read?
From time to time. Yes.
You read?
Yes.
Read what?
I've got that thing like mounted right in front of me.
Oh,
I read,
no.
I read the news.
At least you're reading.
Yeah. Well, I'm practicing for Can't Beat Raven. Not a good idea. But you find romance wherever you are, I suppose, right there. Sometimes it's the person that's standing right in front of you. Interesting situation arose recently in Michigan, where a couple friends were out touring on the beach area. Well, you know what? Listen in.
It's a popular trope in action movies. Heroes like Indiana Jones bogged down in quicksand, racing against time to get out. But for one Michigan man, that cliche of cinema almost became a reality.
Mitchell O'Brien and Brianne Cinca are a couple friends. They've been hanging out for a couple of years now. Even though they've never expressed romantic interest to each other, they recently had a discussion with a friend who said, hey, you guys are hanging out all the time. Maybe you guys like each other. Maybe you should explore this. So they said, you know what? Let's go for a walk on the beach and enjoy ourselves. Spend some time together and see whether or not anything could be there. Turns out, dude's walking around looking for rocks and then falls into quicksand.
Wild.
Yes. Yes. Totally wild at that point. He was beach hunting again for rocks or whatever he was and then, you know, found himself in this perilous situation. And it was when they went to call the authorities for help. I mean, he actually needed rescue.
Yeah.
He could not get out of it. He was at his waist and falling further. This is what happened.
Mitchell O'Brien trapped not quite in quicksand, authorities say, but a mix of sand and muck. He says he was out searching for rocks at a beach on Michigan's northwest coast when suddenly he hit a soft spot in the sand and got stuck.
Mm-hmm. And then she calls 911, and what?
I refer to her as my girlfriend that's trying to call as well. At the exact same time, she got through to another operator and said, my boyfriend is stuck in the sand.
2 years of this guy being my best friend and just trying to hide everything, how I felt, and then he tried to die on me.
Hmm. And that was the perfect time for them to tell each other. When you told your husband that you loved him for the first time, what were the circumstances there? How did it come about? Because I can tell you myself, my wife and I, we had gone to a baseball game, and I was totally trying to play it cool. I broke up with my wife like 3 times when we first started dating because I was like, I can't be doing this. I was already, you know, like that guy that had been divorced and was like, I'm never getting married again.
Oh, one of those.
And then we went to a baseball game and then I dropped her off that night back at her car. And then I was like, I love you. And it just jumped out of my mouth. And then I just rolled up the window and sped away.
It wasn't one of those. I love you. Crap.
No, it was kind of like that. I mean, I immediately rolled up the window and then throttled the gas and pulled out of there.
I mean, that is romance.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yours wasn't the same. What was yours like?
So my husband and I have this discussion frequently. Mm-hmm. We have absolutely no idea who said I love you first, where it happened or anything. I have zero clue. I highly doubt it was me because I'm not an overly affectionate, loving person.
Yeah.
But I'm sure he said it first, but I could not tell you where or when.
Really?
No clue.
I'm getting a text message right now from producer Julie in the other room who says that she did it in 2 weeks. What happened?
Ooh.
Get in here. She's going to tell us that in a minute. But continuing on with Mitchell and Bree, because I'm sure you want to know, just like me, whether or not he's alive.
And becomes my boyfriend in the middle of it.
Firefighters eventually arrived on the scene and pulled Mitchell out within a few minutes. The couple now appreciating how a soft spot in the sand turned into a soft spot in each other's hearts.
Oh, you know that news anchor was waiting for that, Ashley.
I know she was, mm-hmm. because I literally thought the exact same lines. We all think the same. And I love how it happened in a newsy voice. The soft spot was in his heart.
First dates, activities, first not, and how Julie apparently confessed that she loved Aaron. That's coming up in just a minute. We were just talking about a disastrous first date, which actually turned out to be pretty good. Because the dude got caught in quicksand, but then they ended up confessing that they were really into each other by the end of the call. When you have to call for paramedics for the person that you're on the date with, it really crystallizes your feelings about them at that moment. Julie, you didn't have to call for 911 right away when you started dating Aaron, but what happened?
Well, I accidentally said I love you, mm-hmm. but it was only 2 weeks in.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, we'd spent every day together.
Where'd you cool go? How did that happen, right?
Well, okay, right. So we walk. He dropped me off from an activity. We were in college. I was at a club and everything. He dropped me off.
Yeah.
And as the door to the dorm was shutting, I don't know what happened. I just was like, I love you.
Yep.
Bye.
Bye.
And you know what happened?
Just jump right out of your mouth.
He said it back.
Oh, my gosh.
And then I freaked out.
In less than 2 weeks.
It's over. I've ruined it. Everything's done.
Right.
And it wasn't.
Right.
We've been dating for 3.5 years.
The courtship was over, though, you felt at that moment.
Oh,
like everything had changed, that your power was gone in the relationship.
My face is still red from it. It was so embarrassing.
Wait, you lived to tell about it.
So you were closing the door. Did he push it back open or what? Or he just said it and walked away?
Yeah. We both, I think, turned ways and went, oh, no.
Yeah, and walked away.
Yeah,
and then didn't. When did you discuss it after? So you were you like immediately after, like, okay, that happened?
Yeah, no, there was a text from me saying, oh, no, that happened. And then I think we met up like a half hour later because I was pretty sure the entire world was falling apart.
Hold up. You sent a text that's saying, I don't know what happened there?
No, I said that just happened.
Oh, that happened.
I owned that.
Right. Ashley doesn't even remember. So,
no.
So there's that. So
I'll never forget it.
First date activities. So the stats are out now about activities now. And it used to be if you went in on an activity, the first date, like, you know, the only activities there were like going to a movie, mm-hmm. or going to dinner, or, you know, basically that was it. Right. And now, you know, throw in coffee shop. But stats say that if you're doing one of these things and specifically one activity in general, you are 50% more likely to get a second date. Your feelings on activities on first dates. We're going to talk about it next. Dating has changed. I mean, I know that. I'm aware of that. Even the fact that, you know, I'm not dating. I've been married for quite a while at this point. But dating's definitely changed from back when I was doing it. I mean, we didn't have apps. There was no way to meet people like randomly like that. When MySpace and, you know, Facebook came out, it was like a revelation. A new report says that first dates that involve an activity are 25% more likely to lead to a second date more than just meeting somebody randomly at a bar, a restaurant, or even coffee if you're trying to set that up. So even if you're, you know, taking a date right now or you're using apps or whatever, this could kind of, you know, play into your planning for that. When I was dating, if you asked somebody to go on a hike or some sort of activity that involved you traveling outside of, like, the public realm where people would see you, you'd think that that person was a serial killer. Mm-hmm. Immediately, automatically, right? The only things that were acceptable were dinner and a movie or a show or something like that, really? Right? Like, even if to ask somebody to go to a concert with you as a first date, weird. It was totally weird. But everybody in this room has got somebody, a significant other that you're involved with. So producer Julia, producer Justin are here. Ashley, your first date with your husband. What did you do?
We went to a metal concert.
Yes, that's sick.
I mean, that's an activity.
It is. I drove 2 hours to said concert and 2 hours back with someone I had only known less than 24 hours.
That's kind of fun.
What could possibly go wrong?
I mean, you could have been buried anywhere along that highway.
Pretty much.
I mean, and that's what we would assume when I was, you know, younger and dating. So how is it that you guys met up to go to this metal concert? Like, you met randomly and were like, we both like metal, we're going to this concert?
No, I don't think he had any idea what he was getting into. We met at a bar and he asked what I was doing the next day. I said, oh, I'm driving up to go to this metal show. And he says, well, are there any more tickets? And I said, well, I happen to have an extra one if
really?
You want to go.
Yeah, because nobody wanted to go.
Right, yeah. Right. You couldn't find anybody else to go.
So I said, if he's going to drive 2 hours there and go to a metal concert and survive it, mm-hmm. you know, he's probably worth sticking around. We were actually living together 4 days after we met, so.
Whoa.
Don't do it like I did.
That's amazing. And a bold move, by the way, to be like, what are you doing tomorrow? Okay, that's good. Justin, first date with your significant other.
We went to a state fair.
Okay. Activities.
Activities.
Yeah.
Concourse, food, rides, concerts, the whole thing.
Did you win or something?
Nope. We looked at the stuffed bears and I said, I can try. And she laughed and said, absolutely 100% no.
I can try.
That's what you say after you've been married for 10 years and the wife goes, you know, you used to just try and win for me. The move was you should have just tried, Justin.
Well, she was not the kind of girl that wanted me to win her a stuffed bear at the state fair.
Mm.
You know what? That's only what she's telling you. Julie, first date with Aaron.
Well, we met and then we chatted for a bit and he was going to ask me out. And I was like, all right, if we're going to go on a date, I want it to be a fun date, not a food date. Because I think food dates are awkward. The whole thing scares me.
Yeah. Eating in front of somebody else.
Yeah. It's
you would have choked.
Weird.
I get
Why
that.
I don't want that. Not at all.
Yeah.
So we went to a pottery place and we painted little pottery things. And we actually made a flower pot that now and every time he gets me flowers, we fill it. So it's kind of cute.
Oh, how lovely.
That sounds like a lovely time.
Right. Right. Is it an ugly pot?
No, it's so cute, I think.
Sounds like the polar opposite of my date.
All right, time for another edition of Baylor's Box of Questions. So my friend Ashley Baylor's been in all week, meteorologist, crazy person. I think we can all agree upon that. And Ashley carries around a bunch of questions with her randomly, usually in a box.
Cheez-Its box.
That's right.
Yep, it's sitting over there. I should have used that.
And you still have Cheez-Its in that one, though, right?
Well, I won't by the end of the day.
So, just had to borrow one of our bowls in here. Okay, so we're going to pick a question from the bowl, and then everybody will have to answer it. Justin, you want to do the
Justin,
honors
today?
Justin,
you pick this one.
Here we go.
All right, here we go. What is the worst ice cream flavor?
The worst ice cream flavor. Wow, that's hard.
I've never been a fan of Rocky Road. I don't like marshmallows in my ice cream.
Okay.
I don't like a lot of stuff in my ice cream. Like, when I go to an ice cream place and people use gummy bears as toppings, I lose my mind.
That's my daughter.
Oh, I can't.
No Swedish fish, no gummy bears.
No. Okay.
I mean, those things get hard when they're cold anyway.
They don't go together. But as far as the flavors, like Rocky Road or Tin Roof Sundae, which is very similar, but that's also got peanuts in it.
Yeah, okay.
Tin Roof Sundae.
Neither of those are your
not
favorites.
Heard of that one.
I don't like chocolate. I'll say it. I don't like chocolate.
Wow.
It's gross. I don't need that much chocolate.
It's a hard take.
You never even had like a chocolate ice cream that you liked?
Oh,
like,
no,
you're not
I'll
like this
it.
One's good versus. You'll still eat it.
I'll eat it.
But you never order it. it's free.
It's not by choice.
If they're handing you chocolate ice cream, but it's free,
I don't enjoy it.
So,
but you'll eat it.
You take it, you say, I'll eat this, but under duress.
Yes, I'll eat it, but I won't like it, but I'll still have it.
Ashley, the worst kind of ice cream flavor.
I would have to say, and this is also not a popular opinion, I would have to say that mint chocolate chip.
Oh,
I love mint chocolate chip.
I love that flavor.
Oh, it's
and I know
so
people
good.
That love it. Wait, hold up. You love that flavor, but yeah. not chocolate, but the chocolate chips are okay.
Yeah, I love that part.
Wow. All right, mint chocolate chip is the worst, you say. I don't like butter pecan. Yeah, like, you know, like, it just, to me, pecans don't really belong in ice cream.
Yeah, how dare they?
There's never enough pecans. Of it. I need more.
Is that right?
Pecan part.
No, I like a Butterfinger topping or all that. I can go a lot of different ways on ice cream, but, and I will say this, too, is like, some of this stuff is too dense, Justin. You're right. So if it's got too much stuff
too much
in
going
it.
On.
Yeah, too much stuff in it. Like, I want to taste the ice cream. I don't want it to all be chunks of one thing right. or another.
That's the best part.
I'm also a purist. I don't like when someone has chocolate ice cream and then they put, you know, the gummy bears or the Swedish fish on top. I'm like, separate the chocolates and the fruity stuff.
Really?
You want like a side dish? That's weird.
Sure.
Wait, I mean, yeah.
But don't put them together.
A little sprinkle side, dip it in. Lovely.
Turns it into a dip. Okay. Yesterday, talking with people, we ran into a whole bunch of stories of people when they met somebody famous randomly, right? Like, I mean, it's one thing if you go to a place where somebody is expected to be an appearance. It's something else when you see somebody completely unexpected.
In the wild.
Right. Like, doing everyday things. So I can remember when I moved to Los Angeles, I was going to see Braveheart in theaters, and I was going to see it at what is now the Man's Chinese Theater. At the time, it was Man's Chinese Theater. I think at this point, it's Grumman's or whatever. But at the time, it was, and I had just seen the movie True Romance like a few weeks before. And if you've never seen that, epic film, incredible cast.
You know I haven't seen that.
That is
or
terrible.
Braveheart.
But I turn around. I mean, it has a million character actors in this movie. And I turn around and right there in the line behind me buying the ticket also is the guy who played Lee Donowitz in the director in True Romance is Saul Rubinek. And I turn around and I was like, hey, you're that guy. And he's like, yes. He's very quietly looks around. He's like, yes. And I was like, True Romance. I was like, absolutely loved it. I said, coming home in a body bag too. That was it. It's an inside joke from that movie. And he was very gracious and very cool. But I very much got the point that he was like, I hope this person is not going to think that we're going to be best friends when we walk into the movie theater at this point. Because he was just a regular guy going to see it right there.
Did it break your heart that you didn't become best friends?
No, not at all. I mean, it was a very Hollywood moment for me having just arrived there in the couple weeks before. And love the film and still love that one and still remember and love telling that story. So it's that funny interactions, right? That place where you ran into somebody unexpectedly. 1-800-330-9999. Mary, you met somebody famous. What happened?
So I was driving with my husband in the car and I wasn't paying attention. I started talking to him and I veered off a little bit to the side of the road and he like yelled at me and I slammed on the brakes. And when I looked up, right in front of me was David Letterman, who I almost hit while he was jogging.
Oh my gosh. Can you imagine? You would have been
terrible.
The person who broke David Letterman's legs. Like that
would have been horrible.
That would have been a terrible thing.
It would have been a conspiracy that Jay Leno was behind it the whole time.
Oh my gosh.
It was okay.
I can't imagine like running into somebody, fault. Even their vehicle or anything like that, right? Like that would just be awkward.
Well, it would have been horrible regardless of who it was. It was pretty bad. I was totally at fault.
Right.
But it all
by the way, well. By the way, it would also be upsetting if you hit a stranger, right? If it wasn't David Letterman or anybody else. Let's be clear.
Yeah.
Right. Well, I'm glad you didn't hit him, but you didn't get you didn't get to talk to him after. Too bad.
Well, I did say sorry.
Gina, how about you? What happened that time you met somebody famous?
Okay, so I was living in Vegas at the time. This is the late 80s. And we were going to see a boxing match. I worked for American Airlines, and we used to meet a lot of famous people. And one of the guys that we met was the person that invented the counterpunch thing, that the way they count the punches. They actually invented this thing. So anyway, they got us VIP passes, and we're in this back area, and Robert Redford walked by. And I love Robert Redford. And so I said, hey, Rob. And he thought it was a friend. And he turned around, and the look on his face, he was not happy with me at all. I got a great picture. And he, I didn't say, Mr. Redford. I said, hey, Rob. And he definitely thought it was a friend. And I was not a friend. But
keep that attitude, Rob. Best. You got fooled. Don't be mad.
You know, he was good natured after that. He let me take a picture.
I'm glad to hear it.
In the moment.
Hey, Lynn, tell me about the time you met somebody famous. What was the funny thing that happened?
Well, I was in Milwaukee, at Milwaukee Airport. I was working for Isotoner Glass in Manhattan, and they were sending me out to our Milwaukee office every week. And we were, our flight was delayed because of weather. So I see all these people clustered around this guy. He's got a Hawaiian shirt on, leather sneakers, and I thought, my boss was with me and some other people. And I said, that's Robin Williams.
Oh, no kidding.
And they said, no, it isn't. And I said, it is, it is. And everybody was clustered around him getting autographs. So anyway, at some point, I went to use the ladies' room. He was coming out of the men's room. So we were bumping into each other, and I said, I don't want an autograph. I want a kiss.
And did he give you one?
Yes, absolutely.
He's the best.
Wait a minute. Was it that weird thing, though, where his hands were still a little wet from washing them coming out of the bathroom, and you're wondering to yourself, you're like, come on? So I might have got low-key banned from a place recently. Here's the thing. All right. Now, I understand that people, when you're working, I worked in retail for a long time, and I worked in restaurants for a long time, and I understand that it's a stressful environment, and that, you know, oftentimes it's not going to be the fantasy that people have when they walk into there. Sometimes things go wrong, and you've got to be patient, and you've got to be happy. This is a pattern of behavior that has happened at my local Chipotle probably over a dozen times. Chipotle. Delicious burrito. All right. I love it. All right. That and Moe's. I love them both. Very, very good. Right. I don't know what it is. When Chipotle came to my town, we were very excited. It's right around the corner from my house. But when you go in there, it's like a war zone. It's like the place where people go to hate their jobs and die. It's written all over their faces, the entire staff, when you walk in there. They're never happy.
Everybody wants extra guac.
It's and here's the thing. They don't make enough of anything. So if you go in there after like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, they're out of half the stuff. Make some more of it.
On the bright side, that's how you know it's fresh.
No, Justin, that's not a thing that counts. That's not a real thing here at this point. I mean, it would have been fresh if I got it at 11 a.m.
Sure.
But they're not making it new at 2 in the afternoon. This is what I'm telling you, is they're just like, no, we're out of the stuff for the rest of the day. And what kind of restaurant can actually operate that way? Right.
Yeah, you're not here to play devil's advocate.
Every time I go in there, I ask for these items there, and I you know, at some point, you know, you stop going, that's okay, and you start going, really? You're out of that also? You are a burrito place. How can you exist without this thing being in there? So last time I had an exchange, and it became uncomfortable, and I just think at this point that I can never go in there now, all right? Because it became a situation where, like, I'm against them. They didn't officially say, sir, you are not welcome back here, but I feel like if I go back, they're going to spit in my taco.
You'd be lucky if they spit in it.
Anything.
And only spit in
right.
it.
Well, that's the thing, right? So, you know, at this point, I don't feel like I can go back there for a number of years. And it makes me sad because I will miss the burrito. Now I got to drive across to Moe's. It's a whole uncomfortable situation for me. But I don't want to go back in there because it's been a tense exchange. So I got to have my own space. I got to give it time to peter out.
Yeah.
Have you guys been banned from somewhere? Producer Justin, where have you been banned from?
Similar to you, I don't know if it was an outright ban, but mm-hmm. I got shown the door, thrown out, not my fault, and I refuse to go back and give them my business right now.
I mean, do we ever feel like it's our fault?
It was, well, I mean, I had a part of this. My local movie theater.
Okay.
I am at a showing, like a late showing, like a 11 o'clock midnight screening of a horror movie with one of my buddies.
Uh-huh.
And we're there, and then 15 minutes into the picture, after it's already started, in comes a family of three. And they come, they sit down, and the kid is 4 years old, maybe.
Okay.
This is midnight.
Yeah.
Horror movie.
Yeah. Oh, perfect.
Kids,
I mean, that's good parenting.
Crying, complaining, they're scared, and the whole thing. And the parents take turns telling the kid to shut up.
Oh.
So finally, I have enough, and I get up and I say, hey, can you take the kid out of here? We're trying to watch the movie here. And so then I get into it with the couple, and then the manager comes in, and they ask me to leave.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you were the bad guy.
Really?
I was the bad guy.
I don't know what they call a Karen, but for you, but I'm just going to call you Chad.
I feel bad for the kid.
Sit down, Chad. But I get it, right? Uncomfortable situation. And where's your money? Where's your movie viewing pleasure? Don't bring your kids to a horror film, even if it's 2 in the afternoon. I don't care about that.
Yeah, it's just not a good idea.
Ashley, low-key banned from somewhere or straight-up banned? What happened?
I'm not a straight-up banned from anywhere. There's a place I should be banned from.
Okay.
There's an airport that will remain unidentified that I probably should be banned mm-hmm. from.
This is the same place where you accosted three TSA agents?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Right. I mean, you could be on some sort of list right now. You just don't know. I wasn't banned, but I was basically told, sir, it sounds like we don't have anything here to please you. But they never called me, sir, and they never treated me with that much professionalism. It was basically like, ha, take it or leave it. And that's why I can never return to my local Chipotle.
If it makes you feel better, I'll call you, sir.
No, it never makes me feel better to be called sir, by
sir,
the way.
Sir,
no.
Sir.
Stephanie, where were you banned from? Tell us.
This is going to sound a little crazy, but I am banned from the courthouse until further notice.
What? What happened?
I take my civic duty seriously, so anytime when I have been selected for jury duty, I am there bright-eyed and bushy-tailed. Mm-hmm. I ask questions, I want answers, and I want to get some perspective of what I'm getting into or what I'm prepared to try to get into, and apparently they don't like that.
That's amazing. I mean, you know something, Stephanie? I've never heard of such a thing in my life. When you go there, typically you're the one that's getting the questions and being interrogated. I love that you're cross-examining the lawyers as they're figuring out as to whether or not they want you on the jury.
Yeah, I didn't think that's where the story was going. I thought there was going to be a kerfuffle with a bailiff or something.
Yeah. Wow, that's wild, huh? Good luck, Stephanie. I mean, there's a lot of people that would be envious, right? And there's other people that live for jury duty, but there's a lot of people that have no desire to do it whatsoever. That is funny. Jordan, where are you banned from? What happened?
Well, this happened some time ago. I don't know if I'm banned, but I've never went back there. I did a little dining and dashing when I my high school self when I was at the Cheesecake Factory down in Fort Lauderdale. And the manager, they ran after me. And all I remember is him saying, "You better not come back here." And I literally, I don't know if you saw my face or not, but I've never been back there. So,
right.
Sorry, Cheesecake Factory and the manager, I was not my intention. I really wanted to pay, but unforeseen circumstances.
Uh-huh. Butch was, you know, Spring Break, Lauderdale. Well, how long ago was this? How many years ago was this?
This was probably about 12 years.
You're probably free to go back there. That manager's probably moved on with his life, but...
Oh, you never know.
Who knows, right? You walk in there, you just don't know.
It was worth it for the Linda's fudge cake.
I guess, man. That menu is large. Jimmy, where are you banned from?
Chevy's. I'm banned from the local Chevy's.
What happened?
Well, basically, me and some old college friends came back, and these guys, I love these guys. They're very smart, knowledgeable, and forceful about their opinions. But sometimes... it gets a little bit out of hand. It comes with a little bit of, like, lack of awareness about surrounding. Somehow, they get into, this is a dinner of, like, 9 to 10 people, and somehow they get into a debate. There's, like, one comment, then another comment, and then it turns into, like, it's about, the debate was about the morality of
okay.
Which is a great, great restaurant topic, but it takes over the entire table, and it starts to get, the volume gets louder, and then suddenly the whole restaurant seems like they're listening, and someone comes over and goes, "Hey, sorry, people are trying to enjoy their dollaria, like whatever it is, they're trying to enjoy their food, their sizzling fajitas," and they're like Larry David with it. They're like, "No, everyone can have a good time. We're just having a normal conversation." And they just would not let up about this debate. And then, like, someone came up and says, like, "You guys, you can't come here anymore."
Well, it's a big night in sports. One of the biggest, really, over the last couple of years, of course. The NFL draft has become a bigger, bigger event. Tonight, it hits Green Bay, the smallest market in the NFL, where everybody's getting ready for the big party.
It's predicted to be Green Bay's busiest week in history as the NFL draft comes to the league's smallest market.
The question is, of course, where is the first pick going to be going? Tennessee Titans have the first pick, the order tonight. Cleveland Browns after that. The Giants, the Patriots, the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Raiders, the Jets, the Panthers, Saints and Bears round out the top 10. Titans, when asked about what they're going to be doing, word salad.
No, we've come to a consensus. The entire organization is to stay at that pick, and I guess you'll find out Thursday night who we pick.
So, of course, you know, you can make trades for picks, too, mm-hmm. before they even happen, and then people can select. Largely expected to be the number one pick is Cam Ward. After that, you've got some questions. Shedeur Sanders, the son of Deion Sanders, Travis Hunter, a two-way player. So it's going to be an interesting evening if you're with sports. People has named Demi Moore the most beautiful person of 2025. She'll be coveting the most cover there. They don't just crown the sexiest man alive now. It's also the most beautiful person. Demi Moore is 62 years old. says that she was so harsh on herself over the other years. Now she's just punishing herself for all the things that she did before, and that's how she's getting this look and these results nowadays.
Oh, because we just finally let it be.
I guess. I don't know. I mean,
that's the key.
She did great with The Substance. A huge one. Was an Oscar favorite there. Didn't end up taking home the award, but obviously it's been a big year for Demi Moore, too. And then there's this strange interview that a lot of people are talking about that's come out of Australia. These are identical twins, Bridget and Paula Powers, who have gone viral after being spoken to after an incident involving their mother. Listen to this. This is absolutely amazing.
And one guy, he was up there with our mum, and he went up there, and he
was coming back down towards us,
and he goes, run, he's got a gun. And our heart started to pound, and I said, oh, mum, where's mum?
That's the two of them answering questions in complete synchronicity. And it goes on and on. This interview is like 5 minutes long at least. This reporter is completely stunned as he continues to ask them questions. I mean, identical twins, yes. They are dressed the same on top of it. And then they continue.
Well, see, he was up there and we were passed out.
See, when you drive away,
you don't think of all of that at the time.
No,
you just run for your safety.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. I mean, they just go on and on. Twin powers. Do you believe in them?
I think I have to, especially when they're identical twins, because do you remember that show on TLC, My Strange Addiction?
Mm.
There were a pair of identical Australian twins, coincidentally, that were addicted to being identical, and they did the same thing. They kind of spoke in unison.
The only thing that I really recall from that show, I remember the previous, there was a guy who would like eat a pillow.
That would be tame compared to what I've seen on that show.
All right. So twin powers. Are you a twin? 800-330-9999. You can call and chime in. I have some basic questions for that. And then plus, could two people actually speak in sync if they wanted to? That's coming up. This is absolutely amazing. Again, if you have not heard this, though, this is a video, an interview that's going on with Paula and Bridget Powers. They're a pair of twins in Australia, and they were talking about their mother was attempted to a carjacking or something like that. And the interviewer is just amazed when they start talking into all the answers to their questions like this.
And one guy, he was up there with our mum. And he went up there, and he
was coming back down towards us,
and he goes, run, he's got a gun. And our heart started to pound, and I said, oh, mum, where's mum?
I mean, it's a scary situation, a carjacking you're doing the reporting on, but I can't concentrate on all of that. Like, I'm spun out on the details of how this even happened or transpired, because the fact that they talk in unison is blowing my mind.
And mum distracting him to make him look the other way, and he looked the other way, and mum ran into the bush
behind the fence.
All I was thinking about when we were running, I hope he doesn't fire.
That's crazy.
We were so blessed.
It goes
like a natural echo.
It really is, right? By the way, this all took place on Steve Irwin Way. Can't make that up. Absolutely amazing what's happening down there in Australia. But, you know, we started thinking about twin telepathy, twin powers, whether or not it's a real thing. And then, you know, we cut down to could we actually reenact something like this if we tried? So are all of us going to read this together?
No. So what's going to happen now?
Okay.
Is
Julie has divulged this testing here,
yes.
Ashley.
Meteorologist Ashley and Raven, you are going to read the script that you have both with your names written on it. You're going to read those at the same time together.
Okay.
Justin and I have a separate script that we're going to read together after you.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Are you ready?
I guess.
1, 2, 3.
We stepped into the museum and we were immediately surrounded by centuries of history and art.
The quiet arts echoed as we wandered from exhibit to exhibit.
I got lost in a painting that looked like it could come to life.
I tried to do mine in an Australian accent. Try to do that.
Oh, you wanted me to?
No, you didn't have to. See, that's the thing. Raven added a flair.
Yeah, okay. Well, I wanted to.
You're so blessed.
All right, you guys go ahead.
All right, I'm going to
I don't know if that was Australian.
Here we go. I'm going to embody my Justin.
All right,
ready?
Raven, give us a countdown.
Yeah, okay. All right. 3, 2, 1.
The sun was shining. No, your script is right here. You're reading that one.
Oh, ready? Oh, well,
you failed that already. You're not a very good twin.
Ready? Okay. Please, Raven.
3, 2, 1.
The sun was shining brightly as I spread out my towel on the warm sand. I kicked off my sandals and let the ocean breeze wash over me. Mm-hmm. Kids were laughing and building sandcastles nearby.
Might have been easier if you did it in an Australian. I'm just going to say, right?
That was pretty good.
You think so? You're proud?
Well, see, he was up there and we were past our driveway. You don't think of all of that at the time. No, you just run for your safety.
Mm-hmm. It's like they're thinking together.
I like when one deviates and they're like, hold on, let me go back to what you're saying.
Do you feel like they have to touch each other while they do that? Like have a hand on the other one, like so it transfers through them?
Maybe.
I don't know.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us, they let us know what they're having a disagreement about, and then you get to decide who's right. Couples Court is brought to you in part by Sherwin-Williams. Shop the Sherwin-Williams 4-day super sale, and you'll get 40% off paints and stains April 25th through the 28th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Patrick and Emerson. Emerson, let's start with you. What's going on?
So our daughter is really good in band. She plays clarinet, and I think she's great. She's been in the band for a couple of years in the high school band. Mm-hmm. She's just in her junior year, and she wants to drop it. And I think it's a terrible idea. It's junior year. She's applying for colleges now. It's definitely not the time to drop her main activity. I mean, that's the thing that she does that she I thought she enjoyed the most, but apparently now she just wants to hang out with her boyfriend, so teenagers.
Yeah, is that what she told you, or is that you are telling me that?
Yeah, that's where she spends most of her time, and it's my inference, I guess, as a parent, that that's where she'd rather be than sitting in band playing clarinet.
Okay, I understand. Patrick, what's your side of this?
I mean, I've never seen her smile while she's practicing or playing. And so if she's not happy, she's not going to play well, not going to develop a passion for it. And it's just going to turn into a laundry list of, you know, extracurriculars she's done. So if she doesn't like it, she shouldn't continue to have to do it and suffer through it. And who knows, you know, if she has some extra space available from not being at practice all the time, she might discover something she's really passionate about. And I think colleges are more interested in that than just like a whole list of things that you participate in. So, yeah, honestly, I think she knows best, and the application process is different than when we went through it. So who knows? Maybe it's not as important as we think.
Well, I mean, I will say this. We've talked to a lot of experts here on the show, and it is different than it used to be as far as getting into a college. So I don't know how much band does for you. I think you have to have some stuff going on because you figure you're up against a lot of kids that do. Yeah, I'm not the person to ask. I really don't know. And I think that school to school, it could be different. So depending on what her interests are or whatever. Were you a band kid, Ashley?
Very briefly. In middle school, I played an instrument, but it was 5th, 6th, 7th grade, and that was it.
What'd you play?
Oboe.
Okay. Nice. Styling. The clarinet's big bro.
I was not a fan.
Why did you start?
I think, you know, when you're going into middle school, at the time, I believe you had to choose one of three. It was choir, band, or something else.
Small
so I
engines
chose band.
Or something. And you were like, I'm going to go to band.
Yeah, let's try this.
Yeah.
And let's try an instrument that no other kid plays.
I was going to say, who assigns themselves the oboe? That's bad. I love it. That's pretty tough. But, you know, you didn't think so at the time, right? I was in band in middle school. Same thing. Elementary into middle school. Elementary, I didn't know what I was doing. Middle school, I got good. Like, middle school is when I figured it out. And I was pretty good. I was first sax. And we had some other great ones, though, that were even better in my city. But it was fun for me. But when I went to high school, band was not offered because I went to a tech school. Mm. So I dropped it. And you know what? I didn't think I missed it until I got a little bit older. But if she's been playing for years and years and years, it's not like she quits band and sells the clarinet. It's interesting to me, Patrick, that you said you'd never seen her smile and associated to it. And that would be tough for me to vote against. Emerson, were you a band kid?
I was. I loved band.
Mm-hmm. Patrick, were you a band kid?
Yeah, I was. Played the saxophone, but I got to admit, I gave it up after 2 years as well.
Look at that. We could have had a sax showdown. Man. All right. What do you think? If your daughter wanted to give up their elective going into their junior year, do you make her stick it out? Is that a bad choice? Or do you allow her to do what she wants and spend her time how she feels? You know, it's tough because no matter how good your student is, no matter how hard they've tried, no matter how great their grades are, there's still a part that feels like when they're applying to colleges or whatever that you have to get lucky. Right? Like the right school has to take interest in you based on the things that you're doing. And when you're looking at, you know, we've talked to different college experts before, you know, plenty of kids, they've got great stats, right? So what's the thing that makes them the student that a school wants versus one that they're like, you know what, we're going to have to pass this time. Patrick and Emerson, their daughter is getting ready to go into her junior year coming up this fall. And as they get ready for it, they've recently found out that she wants to quit band. Emerson says that's completely impossible. You've been playing band all these years. You're going to give it up now as you're applying to schools. This is your main elective at this point. This is where you've excelled and showed how great you are at these things. But Patrick says she's not happy. She's never been happy, as far as I know, playing the clarinet. I mean, I've never seen her smile throughout all these years with it. Let her drop it and enjoy the rest of her high school career. It's a tough situation, Ashley, right? You want what's best for them, but that goes both ways. Happiness versus success in the future.
It does. I think for this, there is a little bit of a compromise somewhere here, because I understand where, you know, the mom is coming from. Mm-hmm. You know, we want to use this to get into a good school.
Sure.
And also, again, scholarship opportunity possibly. But is there a way where, hey, just stick it out for a junior year, apply to the colleges, and then once you've applied, then you can quit and enjoy your senior year?
I mean, I don't know, right? Like, can you tell her it's okay to quit now, or can you tell her it's absolutely not okay to quit right now? Janine, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I am definitely on the dad's side, except for the part about smiling while you're playing the clarinet. I don't know anybody who could smile while they're playing a clarinet, but I do vote for him. As a senior, I quit the orchestra.
Uh-huh.
I had a great senior year, and I went on to college, having four children, divorce, and a career. And I cherish that senior year where I wasn't as busy as my whole life before and after.
Right, you got to enjoy yourself.
Enjoy. Yeah, exactly.
Transport you back to senior year right now, or at least right after
school
drop-off.
We had such a great time, and I stayed out of trouble. Thank you so much.
What do you think? Whose side are you on? Having to keep up with an activity that you really despise every single day is tough, right? Having to put in practice and then perform in that in a public setting as well. And then knowing that contributes to your ability to either get into the school of your choice or not. Like that's a whole lot of pressure for a student, right? Patrick and Emerson's daughter, she's getting ready to go into her junior year coming up this fall. She's played in the band for a number of years, from middle school right up into high school. It's basically her main elective, and she's a great player. At that point, though, Emerson says she's got to keep on playing the rest of her high school career, at least until she gets into the school of her choice. But Patrick says she's unhappy. She's come to us and told us this. She wants to quit playing the clarinet, quit playing the band in general, and focus more on herself and enjoying her time during these last 2 years of high school. Mom says that's really just an excuse to hang out with her boyfriend more and not valid. What do you do in this situation, Ashley?
This is a very tough one. I think there's probably a variety of resolutions to this, but I understand being committed. Let's even try and get through a next year.
Mm-hmm.
Let's maybe not talk about the next 2 years. Let's maybe try 1 year, apply to those colleges, see if they give you a scholarship or something like that, and then enjoy the rest of your senior year. I think there's a way to get around it.
Except if you're the student and you're hearing that, all you're hearing is, I'm in prison the next year, at least. Again, still, you're not listening to my feelings. You're not validating how it is that I feel about this, and I've told you about this like an adult, and now you're punishing me.
Sure.
It's a tough situation. Can you force your child to do at least one more year of band, or do you listen to them, listen to their feelings, like Patrick said, and let them off the hook with band over the next couple of years? What do you think about this, Anne?
I'm on dad's side, because as long as the kid's enrolled in another activity or interest, that's okay. You just can't stop doing everything. But yeah, if you don't like something, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, if it's not something that you're going to want to pursue down the road anyways, too, why keep projecting that, right?
Absolutely.
Molly, what do you think about this? Whose side are you on?
I'm kind of in between. I say, if her band has a guard, then I say join that. I did guard for 4 years. I'm a senior, and I have a bunch of people on the guard who switched over from band to do guard, and they had a really fun time.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, it's a different type of interaction, right? And you're doing it for all the rallies, which is, you know, Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, and for Winter Guard, you separate from the band and you do your own thing, and that can be fun.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Patrick, our audience agreed with you. Emerson, you know, if your daughter wants to give it up, this is just a fight possibly not worth having. You know, talk to your guidance counselors. At this point, she should be getting a sense as to what the schools are receptive to or not. So maybe the band thing isn't a big deal, or maybe she could pick something up now that would kind of fill that gap moving ahead. They tend to agree with you, Patrick. If she's not happy, why force her?
Right on. You know, sometimes you got to just change the channel so you can hear what you really want. How about that?
That's not necessarily untrue. Emerson, you have to live with his metaphorical analysis and the votes here. I'm sorry.
I'm
sure you probably don't think it's still a good idea.
No, I really don't. I just wish she'd... I mean, she's only got 2 years left. I wish she would just stick with it. And then is she going to find something new for the last 2 years to have something on the applications? But I guess here we are. So hopefully she'll figure out something else she has a passion for.
Well, good luck, guys. The college thing is stressful for everybody, not just the kids. So I get it. If anybody else has got an issue, they can always email us, couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
$2,200 is the cash jackpot for today's Can't Beat Raven. Shop with Sherwin-Williams 4-day super sale and get 40% off paints and stains April 25th through the 28th. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Kim, are you ready to play today?
I am ready.
Okay, can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, please leave the room.
You got it. $2,200, Kim. Good luck.
Thank
you. All right, Kim, here we go. That door is going to shut. There it goes. We're in a soundproof room. Raven can't hear us. I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. You have 3 seconds to answer them. I'll bring Raven back into the room and ask him the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins, and the ties go to Raven. You ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Number 1, Khloe Kardashian announced her new reality show on Hulu. It will highlight the life behind the Calabasas gated community. What are the 2 main colors of Hulu's logo?
Black and green.
Okay. Number 2, Robert Irwin will star in the new season of Dancing with the Stars. Speaking of dancing, what is the popular Christmas ballet performance called?
The Nutcracker.
Okay, number 3. Taylor Swift and Hugh Jackman are reportedly set to be served with a subpoena for the Lively Baldino case. Hugh Jackman stars in The Greatest Showman as an American showman. What is his character's name?
No idea.
Okay, number 4. Ed Sheeran and Noah Kahan played an intimate concert at a Nashville bar, and there were about 100 people in the crowd. Noah Kahan and Ben & Jerry's are both from what state?
Maine.
What did you say?
Maine.
Okay. And number 5, former NFL player Mel Owens will have his chance to find love on the show as the new leading man. What position did the Golden Bachelor host, Jesse Palmer, play in the NFL?
Quarterback.
Okay. Let's bring Raven back in.
Yo.
She got 3.
All right. Not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do, Kim. $2,200.
All right. Khloe Kardashian announced that her new reality show will be on Hulu. It will star the highlight life of the Calabasas gated community.
Okay.
It'll be
more rich people.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
What are the 2 main colors of Hulu's logo?
They're green and black.
Correct. Number 2, Robert Irwin will star in the next season of Dancing with the Stars. Speaking of dancing, what is the popular Christmas ballet performance called?
That is The Nutcracker.
That is correct. Taylor Swift and Hugh Jackman are reportedly set to be served with subpoena for the Lively Baldino case.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Let's get them involved too. Hugh Jackman stars in The Greatest Showman as an American showman. What is his character's name?
Is it P.T. Barnum?
That's correct.
Yeah.
Number 4. Ed Sheeran and Noah Kahan played an intimate concert at a Nashville dive bar with about 100 people in the crowd. Noah Kahan and Ben & Jerry's are both from what state?
From Vermont.
That's correct. And number 5. The Golden Bachelor is back. Former NFL player Mel Owens will have his chance to find love on the show as the new leading man. What position did the Golden Bachelor host, Jesse Palmer, play in the NFL?
He was a quarterback.
That's correct. I'm sorry, Kim. He beat you 5-3 today.
Best job in show business, by the way, Jesse Palmer. He just gets to walk in and he's like, I'm so sorry, guys. It's the final rose.
I know.
Right? Oh, I love it. It's my favorite. If you didn't receive a rose, take a moment to say goodbyes.
This is
Kim and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt we're going to send you. $2,300 tomorrow, Julie.
Awesome.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home, plus fast and free shipping site-wide. Shop now through July 28th at Wayfair.com.
Wayfair, every style, every home.